Well, I think I might start by trying to split us into two camps. Hands up those who like the TV series Victoria. And hands up who likes Poldark. Oh, I think Victoria is winning it. I don't know if you've been watching. I mean, of course, you can catch up with them both on iPlayer, can't you? But I am enjoying watching Victoria. And last Sunday's episode in particular was very special for all of us romantics, as we saw Victoria and Prince Albert start to fall deeply, madly in love with each other. And we know how Victoria and Albert were just inseparable during their life together. It's all very sweet. But why it affects us so much is because we all have a deep desire to be in such a perfect relationship. Because human beings, let's face it, we're relational creatures, aren't we? We crave love. We crave acceptance. We want to belong. And even as children, we want to be accepted by the cool gang, don't we? As we get a bit older, we want to start dating. But where does this deep urge for intimacy, acceptance and love come from? More importantly, where can it be satisfied? It's been said that we're born with a God-shaped hole in our hearts, and I think that's very true. The Bible teaches us that we're incomplete without God. And our collect today made that point, didn't it? And I've left it down there, so I'm going to have to go and fetch it. This is a truly amazing prayer that sums it up. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself. You see, we were made to be in relationship with the Lord God, and that is where our deepest longing for acceptance and inclusion can be met. And even the most satisfying human relationship is only going to be a pale shadow of the relationship that God wants us to have with him. Well, this morning we start off with the good news. Over the summer we've been looking at the book of Exodus, and it's a wonderful story of God's faithfulness in calling a people to be his own, his treasured possession. And isn't that lovely language? Don't you just long to be somebody's treasured possession? The first few verses of Exodus chapter 19 are a summary of what's happened so far. If you can reach a pew Bible, it's worth turning to page 76 and looking at it again. And just as you turn that up, the location is Mount Sinai. And if you remember, Mount Sinai is where Moses had first encountered God. And remember what God said to Moses on Mount Sinai? Go into Egypt where my people are. They're oppressed and slaves, but bring them out so they can be with me at this mountain. And here we are, Exodus 19, at the foot of the mountain, and there's thousands upon thousands of people there. And so what does the Lord God have to say? If you look at verse 4, he says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Wonderful words, aren't they? The God of the universe is saying, look, I've rescued you. I've rescued you from that which was oppressing you. And I've brought you to be with me, to be my very own, to be my treasured possession. One of my favourite films is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I know that's actually three films, but you'll let me away with it. I love the portrayal of Gollum in it. He's just wonderful. And if you remember, he is obsessed with this special magic ring of power. And do you remember what he calls it? My precious. And Gollum will do anything he can to get his precious back and have it for himself. Well, of course, Gollum's a very negative character. It's a negative desire he has. God's desire is positive, but it's just as strong. He wants us to be his precious, to be with him, and nothing is going to stop him. So that's the good news. God calls people to be his treasured possession. But who are these people God wants? Who can be included? Of course, the specific focus here in Exodus 19 and in the whole of the Old Testament is the people of Israel. And you may think, well, God's being a bit exclusive. But I want just for a moment to show that that's not the case even at this stage in the Bible. What happened when the people of Israel came up out of Egypt? Others joined them. Foreigners could be included. And specifically, if they became circumcised, then they would enter into all the benefits of belonging to God's community. Circumcision was the sign of the covenant that God said would mark out his people. So even back then, it wasn't an overly closed community. Anybody could join if they wanted to. But what is even more wonderful in these verses is what God is calling this special people Israel to be. Did you notice it in verse 6? They're called to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, what's the role of a priest in the Old Testament? Well, one of them is to represent God to the people and to mediate God's blessing to the people. Here we have a nation of priests, so God is saying, I want you to mediate my blessing to the whole world. Because actually God doesn't just want one nation, he wants all nations, even Australians, to be in heaven with him. Might surprise you, but it's true. So that is the good news this morning. God has a deep desire to have a people for his own, a treasured possession. And although it might look like an exclusive group to begin with, anybody can join. It's a message from God to humanity. Please come to me. I will rescue you from all that oppresses you. And the hollowness in your heart can be filled by me. I know you know what's coming. It's all sounding so good. What's the bad news? Well, we need to deal with the bad news. And we can see it in two ways in Exodus 19. But firstly, just look at verse 5. You notice actually that if these people are going to remain as God's people, there's actually some strings attached. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant. And here, you know, we start a problem because in the next chapter, chapter 20, we get the Ten Commandments and the law. This is how God's people are to live if they're to be his holy people. They need to live obedient, holy lives. They need to obey all these commandments. And the problem is that human beings are very good at breaking God's commandments. I mean, just think of the Ten Commandments, if you can even remember them all. I won't test you. But have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever stolen something? Have you ever lied? Have you ever coveted something that somebody else has? Their house, their car, their wife or husband? Have you ever put anything higher up in your list of priorities than God? See, let's be honest, we've all broken God's laws. And so does that mean we can't be part of God's people? This turns out to be a major problem for Israel in the Old Testament. In fact, it's the biggest problem in the whole Bible. And as we read through the Old Testament, we discover that the history of Israel, it starts off so well. But it's full of disaster and calamity. As the people of Israel repeatedly break these laws they're supposed to hold, they vow to keep them. As the people of Israel repeatedly turn away from the God who loves them and has saved them. You see, it's a graphic picture of how we all treat God. We are all guilty of sin We just cannot obey his laws. And eventually, as you read through the Bible, you see the people of Israel being kicked out of the promised land, sent into exile. And that's a picture of us all. We've all sinned. And just as Israel found it impossible to stay faithful to God, by our own efforts, we will find it impossible. Israel kept on running off after other gods, other priorities. They broke the covenant and they were separated from the presence of God. And that is the graphic picture that all humanity is in. We are separated from the presence of God. Separated from the one we should be in relationship with. Heading to death and destruction. And it's all because of sin. We find it impossible to keep God's standards. Well, that's one way the bad news is pictured. But specifically in those later verses in Exodus 19, we have this dilemma. You probably noticed it. On the one hand, you've got the Lord God calling a people to be with him. Come to me. And as I descend on Mount Sinai in majesty and in fire, I want you to be close, but don't get too close. Because you might be destroyed. I am a God full of purity and holiness, and you are not holy. In verses 10 to 14, the people are told to consecrate themselves, to wash themselves. They understand that if they're going to meet this holy God, they need to be clean. But even with all that washing, that consecrating, the warning's still there. Don't touch the mountain. Don't come too close, or you will be destroyed. It's a stark warning. Verse 20 and 21 sum it up. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. The good news is that God wants a people to be his treasured possession, to be in relationship with him. God wants to come and be in the midst of them. And yet the bad news is, if he did that, they would be destroyed. Do you see how big the problem of sin is? And even when God calls a people to be his holy people and to wash themselves, they still cannot get close to him because we are unholy to the core of our being. Let me illustrate. It's a bit like God living in an environment of pure oxygen. Now we, of course, need oxygen. We breathe it in every day. We'll die without it. But the air we breathe is only 21% oxygen. And if we were to enter an environment of totally pure oxygen, we'd die within 24 hours. Well, God lives in such pure light and we're full of darkness. If we entered his presence, we wouldn't survive a second, never mind 24 hours. And that means, unless something's done about sin, we can never achieve this close intimacy that God wants and that we need if we're to satisfy our innermost desires and needs. And indeed, because of this sinfulness, we're destined to die. We're just unable to keep that old covenant of Almighty God. That is the bad news. So we've had the good news, the bad news. Let's cheer ourselves up. We move on to the best news. The best news of all. Because God's sitting there in his total purity and holiness, and he looks down at the people he's made. He wants his precious to be in perfect relationship with him. But we're unholy, we're sinners, what's to be done? Well, two things need to be done. That sin problem needs to be removed, and we need to be transformed so that we can be holy on an ongoing basis. Which brings us to Jesus, the best news of all. And we saw the answer in John's Gospel. how Jesus accomplishes those two important things. Number one, he comes into the world to die for our sin. How does John the Baptist describe Jesus? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A few weeks ago, we looked at Exodus chapter 12, if you remember, and it was all about the Passover. And do you remember how the firstborn were in deep trouble because they were going to die? Unless the family took a lamb, a pure lamb, and they killed it in place of the firstborn son. And as a sign, they took the blood and they put it round the doorframe as a sign to say a death has already taken place. John the Baptist is saying Jesus is our substitute lamb. He dies for our sin instead of us, in our place. And if we believe and trust in him, our sin will be cancelled out. His blood is a sign that our sin has been paid for in Christ's death. And you know, that's why the Lord's Supper is so important for Christians. It's a sign of God's new covenant with us, where our sins have been removed, they've been forgiven, they've been dealt with by Jesus at the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All those words of John the Baptist. Look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Jesus, our sin is removed. That which separates us from the presence of God is removed. We can be in relationship with him. We're able to go up the mountain and meet God because of the death of Jesus. And the other amazing thing that John the Baptist also says about Jesus, he says, Jesus will baptize those who turn to him with the Holy Spirit. Because how do we stay up the mountain with God? Aren't we just going to, you know, keep on sinning and never be pure? We have this difficulty in keeping the Ten Commandments. But when we accept Jesus into our lives, we receive the Spirit of the living God. And he will transform us. It's a lifelong process, but he transforms us so that we can be totally holy and live in the presence of God. If you like, if Jesus' death enables us to go up the mountain, the Holy Spirit enables us to stay up the mountain. And that is the best news of all. Whereas the Israelites could only wash themselves outwardly before God, the Spirit of Jesus washes us inwardly. The Christian can now freely and fully approach God Almighty, and nothing can separate us from the fullness of God. So I started off talking about how we all yearn for a fulfilling, loving relationship. It is what we were made for. And the best news is we can have it in Jesus. The most fulfilling relationship of them all. And so I just want to close this morning with the invitation Jesus makes in Matthew 11 verse 28. Just listen, as I say the words, imagine Jesus is saying it to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. A wonderful invitation, the best news ever. So let's just take a time of silence. Allow the Spirit to speak to us. Allow Jesus to speak to us those words. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's respond to him now. So Spirit of the living God, open our eyes, help us to see our need for Jesus and how he can fulfill our deepest longings. And in him, bring us to the heavenly city where we can be in the full presence of God forevermore. Amen.